This evening we'll read Luke 2:8-20, and we'll look this evening at verses 13, particularly 13 and 14. Luke chapter 2, verses 8-20. This is Luke's account of the rejoicing and celebrating over the birth of our Savior. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. How are we to celebrate Christmas? How are we to celebrate the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and demonstrated God's love for you, for me, in giving His life? He was born to die, and we, as we saw this morning, even at His birth, the manger points to the cross. The swaddling cloths point to the burial shroud, because Jesus was born to live for us, to live a perfect life of righteousness. He was born to die for us on the cross so that we can have personal peace with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But He rose again for us. So Christmas leads to coronation for all of those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. God promises a crown of life to those who trust in Him. But this past week, I visited a person who suffers from severe physical debilitation and faces significant challenges emotionally, with discouragement, deep discouragement at times, and as well as the physical debilitation that they suffer from. And they testified to me, they have no reason on earth to have joy this Christmas, but they have joy because they're anchored to Christ. They have no earthly reason by their circumstances to have joy, but they have deep joy in Jesus Christ because they are magnifying Him. They are rejoicing in Him. And they're anchored to hope. Not optimistic, wishful thinking, but a confidence that Christ is their Savior, a confidence that is in Christ that's producing a joy and a celebration in their life in spite of their circumstances. And that's the kind of joy and the kind of celebration that God wants His people to have, that God is able to provide to each and every one of us. A deep grace that God is able to pour grace after grace in us beyond and in spite of our circumstances in life. He is able to help us. And throughout these narratives, these stories, true stories of the birth of Christ, what you see is that those who cast themselves on the Lord for help, that God sustains them. The eternal truth of Scripture is God is close to the brokenhearted, and He saves those who are crushed in spirit because they recognize their absolute need for God, and their circumstances cause them to depend on Him, and God does not let them down, any of His people, in spite of their circumstances. He has ability to provide. So the celebration we see that leads to joy is, there's two here in the passage that I want to speak to us about. Number one, glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. So after giving the shepherds the good news of the gospel, the angel punctuated his proclamation by saying, glory to God in the highest. This is poetic. It's not, they're not singing a song, they're speaking the song. But they're singing, in a sense, by speaking to God. Glory to God in the highest. And this angel was not alone. There was a whole host of angels celebrating the redemption of you and me. Now, the angels had given Jesus Christ, the eternal second person of the Trinity, praise from eternity past up to the time when Jesus Christ took on human flesh, right, and who was born. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. But here are the angels doing on earth what they had always done in heaven. But it's a different venue. They are on earth giving praise over the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're worshiping Him. They're filled with joy. You know what's amazing to me? Is that they are also singing a different tune. They are now speaking a song of praise because the Redeemer of you and me and all of God's people has been born. They are praising God. They are praising Christ that He, the Son, who didn't have to leave the glories of heaven, but chose to because He loves you, is going to be despised. He's going to be forsaken. He's going to be rejected to bear the penalty for our sin, so that by the work of God's forgiveness, there will be a song of praise and joy in our hearts for what God has done. And so the angels are praising God for His reconciling love for you and me on earth. And you know, Luke will build on this in this book. And he'll say that when you came to know Jesus as your Savior, all the angels in heaven were rejoicing. We're praising God. We're thanking God for His redeeming love. That's an amazing thing. Think the angels, when God brought us to Jesus, were rejoicing. They're rejoicing because the Son loved us so much, Jesus, that He gave His life for us. So we see the angels are singing. They're singing about the birth of Jesus. We're told in 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting our trespasses against us, and He's committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. Like the angels, magnify Jesus. Celebrate what He has done. That when God looked down on this planet, on humanity, on us, devastated by our sin, separated from Him, under the bondage of the evil one, headed to an eternity in everlasting separation from him, God did not walk away. He could have, but he chose not to. God entered into our plight. Seeing our plight, he did something about it. He came himself in the person of his son. And the son defeats the power of death. The son defeats the power of the evil one. The son overcomes the guilt of our sin by his sacrifice on the cross. And if you read Luke 1, you see Mary, when she is told by the angel that she will have the Son of God, she's magnifying God. Well, what does that mean? She's enlarging her vision of God, her vision. She doesn't make God any bigger. She makes her vision of God bigger. And when you magnify the Lord, our problems become smaller and God becomes bigger. When we magnify our problems, God becomes smaller in our eyes and the problems become bigger. Magnify God. Then there's peace here. It says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. So the angels give a blessing. The coming of Christ was for the glory of God, but also for the peace of his people. So after giving glory to God, they proclaim in the highest, and peace on earth with those with whom God is pleased. What a contrast this was to the kind of peace the Romans brought. In Luke chapter 2 starts with a decree from Caesar Augustus. And that's a reminder that this was the age of what was called Pax Romana, where Caesar was praised for bringing peace on earth. Those exact words were used of Caesar. And what Luke is saying is, Jesus Christ is the only one who can bring real peace to us. He's the only one that can bring us into peace with God. And he's emphasizing, yes, the Romans brought a certain amount of outward peace, but they did it at a horrible cost to human life. Nations were plundered. People were pillaged. People were imprisoned. The poor were oppressed. And Caesar could not, nor can any president or king, give peace to our souls. Only Jesus Christ can. This is what one of a contemporary of Luke wrote. His name was Epictetus, who was a Stoic. He said, while the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of heart, for which we all yearn even more than outward peace. Isn't that the cry of our hearts, to have inner peace of soul, inner calm? No person can do that for you. Only Jesus Christ can provide peace to your heart. He provides peace to our hearts by bringing us into peace with God. That's the most important peace. The peace of a reconciled relationship with God. Because in our lives, we're sinners. And our hearts cry out. We know the guilt of our sin. And we know that one day we must face the judgment of God. And yet that judgment has been taken by the Lord Jesus Christ. So he brings us into peace with God. So we need not fear the judgment of God. Jesus has taken that judgment. We have eternal peace with God. What a blessed gift. Eternal peace with God. That you can go to sleep tonight with a clean conscience. And you can wake up with a clean conscience. And to be able to say, my sin, not some of it, but all of it, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise God. the peace with God that comes through faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior. But he also says here, peace to those with whom God is pleased. In other words, it's God who sovereignly gives that peace to those he brings to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That God in his choosing love brings us to himself and he gives us that peace. That's the good news. There's a story, a true story, about a missionary who studied this verse and he struggled to translate. He couldn't, had a hard time translating it because in the language of the local people, there was no word for peace. So with the help of an assistant, he finally captured the heart of the verse. And this is how it was translated for this people group. God in heaven is so good. So the people who live in this world, if God's heart is delighted with them, then all fear is gone now. Their fear is gone now. God is delighted in us. He is for us. He is on our side. Jesus Christ is in us. So we do not have to go through life under the crushing burden of fear. We can cast our cares on the Lord who delights in us. Now, I don't know about you, but me, I don't always gain the full experience of that peace because I forget to trust God. We have anxieties about the future. At times we're afraid of what people think of us. At other times we're afraid of losing what we love. At times we try and solve our problems on our own. But when we trust God, he gives us peace. Time and time again, when we magnify God, he gives us peace. There's a final kind of peace, and it's in Revelation 7. And I couldn't help but think about the victory of peace when I read this passage. Let me read it for you. It's a glorious hope that awaits us. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know," and he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes." One day, the Prince of Peace will come, and he'll establish perfect peace. But even now, this is a picture of our loved ones who have died trusting in Jesus. Of all of those who have died, who have perfect peace and perfect satisfaction with the Lord. It was in 2008, on this day at Highland Cemetery, that I did the graveside service for my mother. And some of you were at that graveside service. And as I did that graveside service, and I grieved with joy over my mother, grieving because I missed her, but there was also grieving for the just the joy she had in heaven. Some of our tears are tears of joy. That one day I would see her, that her suffering was ended, and that she would be in perfect peace. If Jesus had not come, we would have no hope. No hope of eternal life. No hope of satisfaction. No hope of peace. If you've never trusted Christ, Christ wants to give you eternal hope eternal forgiveness. We need to stop saying, well, I can manage well on my own, and we need to realize who we truly are. There's an empty void in our lives. There's a separation from God, and only Christ can fill that. And whoever comes to Him will find true peace in the Lord Jesus Christ forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You came to this earth to fulfill the plan of Your Father and to save us from our sin. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You were faithful in fulfilling the will of Your Father and giving Your life for us. And we thank You that the joy we have and the peace we have, nothing can take away. That circumstances at times are difficult, at times very unbearable, but You are with us to help us through. Lord, we ask that as we light candles, we would be reminded that You are the light of the world in our hearts, that we are called to be Christ-like candles in this world, showing the light of Your love to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.